Welcome into the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined by Ryan Wood today. No Tom Silverstein, Ryan. This is the drugs of summer.
June. We're holding down the fort. It's June.
Don't worry, Spoon. Go enjoy your vacation. We got this. No, but he does deserve a vacation.
Yes, he does.
And like we said, not too much going on in Packers world right now, but we have finished up the second week of OTAs. Again, this is everything that is said right now has to be prefaced with, this is OTAs, so take it with a grain of salt. But that being said, we were able to see the guys last Tuesday and then again Tuesday of this week. I know there's not much you can take from it, but especially with the rookies, did anyone sort of flash and in a good or a bad way? I know drops with Christian Watson have been a concern. That concern was not alleviated, at least for me, after OTAs. Were there any other the rookies that kind of stood out? I've been really impressed with Romeo Doubs every time I've seen him go out, though.
Yeah, he had a really good back shoulder catch. You know, he wears that 87 pretty well. Very vintage 87 back shoulder catch with dealing with the wind and tight coverage from Kurt Bankert on one of the reps earlier this week. I don't mean this in a weird way, but I really like the way that Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt move. I mean, they are athletic dudes. They're big. Quay Walker especially, he had a rep where, I mean, look, this isn't quite underwear Olympics, but this isn't far off. This is much closer to underwear Olympics than it is to real football. They're not in pads. But he had a rep where, I mean, his burst, he broke through the line. It would have been an easy sack against Kurt Bankert if they were doing that sort of thing. He's a really athletic guy. How quickly he gets inside linebackers, the question, right? I mean, he's still repping second team behind, obviously, Devondre Campbell. And they've got Chris Barnes next to Devondre Campbell with the starters in their nickel and in their base when they go with two inside linebackers. But you know, Quay Walker, the tangibles are there. It's going to be very fascinating to see how quickly he develops and gets adjusted to playing linebacker at the NFL level.
For sure. That will be exciting to watch. Ryan, we're focusing so much on rookies because there's not a lot of veterans there during this time. And they're not necessarily expected to be, as Matt LaFleur said over and over on Tuesday, albeit with a little bit of a chagrin to it. This is voluntary. They don't have to be here. He also noted that flights were canceled over this weekend, over Memorial Day weekend, and it was hard for some guys to get back. And that was the case. There were thousands of flights canceled across the country. He said, I know when we were in the locker room, I was talking to TJ Slayton and he was like, I'm sorry, I got to get out of here. He said, it took me 2 days to get back. I had to take 4 different flights and my luggage just made it to the Green Bay airport. So I got to go get it. And so it was an interesting travel weekend. That being said, just the ones that we noticed off the top of our heads that were not there, Aaron Rodgers, of course, that was not expected. Amari Rodgers, who was there last week, if I'm remembering correctly, Jair Alexander, Rashawn Gary, Sammy Watkins, Preston Smith, and Alan Lazard. Now, before we get to Aaron Rodgers, let's stop and talk about Alan Lazard for a minute and why he has not been there when he is essentially, for all intents and purposes right now, wide receiver one in this unit. He is a restricted free agent. So Ryan, why don't you explain to those listening what that means and why he has not been, we're assuming here, but why we assume he has not been at practices so far.
Yeah, well, he hasn't signed the tender yet. And essentially they have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal, or you signed your tender and they put a second round tender on him. So a team is not going to, you know, if a team comes in with a first round tender in this time, you know, the Packers have the right of first refusal and they can match. But a team's not going to put a first round grade on Alan Lazard. So it's really just a matter of whether or not they can work out something long term, because he's up this spring. You know, he'll be going into free agency. And if they do, then that's the contract they'll work under. If not, he'll play this season on the 1 year second round tender grade as a restricted free agent, and might be their number one receiver. Because when you look at that depth chart right now, that it looks like Alan Lazard, and he's clearly the most experienced guy that they have on that roster, certainly with his quarterback. So it's just a holding pattern. That's why he hasn't been here. But you know, I asked Matt LaFleur about Sammy Watkins not being here. Not to necessarily give Sammy Watkins an out for not being present at OTAs, which again are voluntary, but I mean, I'm kind of the mind that if you're a receiver and the quarterback throwing you passes is not going to be there, there isn't a whole lot as a guy, if you've played in the league, right, you're not new to NFL speed, you're not new to being a professional. If you've played several years in the league, like Sammy Watkins has, there's not a lot of gain that you can get. If the guy throwing you the ball, that position is not there. And yeah, Matt LaFleur wasn't seeing it that way. I don't know that it was so much his response so much directed at Sammy Watkins or just a general wide statement to the team that OTAs are valuable, even if they're voluntary. But he said he's not comfortable with anyone not being at OTAs. He wants everyone there, even if they are voluntary. He also said that because they're voluntary, there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, obviously next week's going to be mandatory minicamp. And at that time, if you're not at mandatory minicamp, there is something that the Packers can do about it. There'll be discipline for anyone not there. You imagine that all these guys are going to be at the mandatory workout next week.
Okay, let's actually look forward to that a little bit. Mandatory minicamp next week, 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday are open to the public. So if you are a fan and you are in the Green Bay area, you can come out and watch practice, which begins at 11:45, I believe, both of those days.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. You can come out and watch practice on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Mandatory minicamp means that you have to be there. Rodgers receives, I believe, a workout bonus. Our colleague,
$50,000.
Yes, and our colleague Tom Silverstein actually texted me he clarified all of this for me the other day. So let me pull this back up. All off-season workouts are voluntary except the 3-day minicamp. No one has to be at any phase of the program except the minicamp. Their workout bonuses are related to how much they show up, but it's up to them how many, if any, of the days they want to attend. We believe that Rodgers' workout bonus is going to be tied to minicamp. It's a smart move on his part. It's a good businessman because he's going to have to be there anyways. How much different is next week going to look versus what this week has looked like? And how much do we see Rodgers do since this is essentially going to be the only time he gets with these guys before training camp? Or do we see them still kind of give Jordan Love more and more of these reps?
You know, I think that you'll see certainly Aaron Rodgers. And this will be a springboard to get into training camp, kind of the platform to step up into the training camp phase, which is the important, it's the most important time of the offseason, obviously. I mean, a lot of, you know, I've seen a lot of fans that are disgruntled with Aaron Rodgers not being at OTAs, but the reality is that the trust and chemistry, timing with your receiver, it's not developed when you're just doing jog through drills. It's developed in competitive team periods when you've got pads on, when you're dealing with the physicality of the game, which obviously disrupts timing at this level, getting off the line of scrimmage, your release packages, all that, getting into certain routes. That's what, you know, training camps, when you master that, and the Packers will have the New Orleans Saints as in a joint practice this training camp, which has become a staple under Matt LaFleur. He likes that because you can get your starters real work, competitive work in a controlled environment so mm-hmm. that you minimize, not eliminate, but minimize the injury risk. Again, you don't eliminate it. Carl Lawson, New York Jets, tore his Achilles at Reed-Nitschke Field last year during joint practices. So there is that risk, but it's a lot more controlled and limited in terms of that injury risk than preseason games when it's all live, right? So this mini camp portion will be a platform to step into the teeth of the offseason development, which is that training camp phase.
Will it give these guys, especially these rookies, a chance to just kind of go through the speed of these plays? Because this week, Matt LaFleur told us, was their biggest installation yet. They were giving them 3 new installations to the playbook. Will it give them a chance to just kind of walk through those with Rodgers and see what the difference is with him versus Jordan Love throwing that ball?
Oh, absolutely. Because there's two offenses, right? And they've talked about that for a long time in Green Bay. There's the playbook, which is the base level, the foundation. You got to know the plays. But then there's the offense that Aaron Rodgers runs, or a quarterback of his ilk. So if you're with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there's two offenses. There's the playbook, and then there's Tom Brady's offense. If you're with the Kansas City Chiefs, there's, at this point, the playbook, and then there's Patrick Mahomes' offense. Any quarterback of that caliber with that kind of autonomy that Aaron Rodgers yields before the snap, during the play itself, you got to be adaptable. Things can change very, very quickly. And so being on the field for that will, you know, it'll just to get used to kind of an introduction to the way that Aaron Rodgers sees the game. Mm-hmm. But again, until they get the pads on, it's not really football. The physicality aspect of the game is not there. That's when it really ramps up.
You mentioned Rodgers, Brady, and Mahomes. So I feel like we have to mention Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady beat Mahomes and Josh Allen in the match yesterday. Clutch shot from Aaron Rodgers to hit Birdie to win it at the end. So I'm sure.
If only it was a wrestling match, that would have been entertaining.
That would have been very, very entertaining. Lots of smack talk between them, some jabs at Rodgers, some from himself as well. I thought the most interesting jab came from, it wasn't a jab, it was a bet. Aaron Rodgers and Charles Barkley will be playing against each other in a golf tournament later on in the summer. And they came up with a wager yesterday during the match. If Barkley wins, he gets to cut off Rodgers' man bun on the 18th hole.
Chuck is in trouble there, because I did not watch this because I have better things to do, which is about anything. But it sounds like Aaron Rodgers' golf game was on point.
It was.
Am I correct in that assessment from the Twitter rumors?
He could have played one versus three and still won.
Well, that's what you want if you're – yeah, good for Tom Brady. Maybe Tom Brady can let Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl now.
Exactly. But so we might have to see what Chuck does with him later this summer. That being said, he should be there next week. That will be fun to watch, especially with all these rookie receivers. Speaking of the rookie receivers, Matt LaFleur said something this week that I thought was really interesting, and therefore I want to watch next week. He said, you know, if Jair had been here this week and last week, that he would have matched Jair against a lot of these rookie receivers and sort of baptized them by fire. Instead, we saw a lot of Nixon playing in the slot corner position instead. Next week, when you're looking at, and actually first, let me clarify this. As Ryan pointed out accurately before we started, we don't know why all of these guys weren't here. It could have been a number of different reasons. It could have just been something that they couldn't catch a flight. It could have been a family matter. It could have just been they're veterans and they didn't need to. We don't know why they all weren't here. When they are here next week, Ryan, what matchup, with something like that in mind, someone like Jair, who is a veteran and who is at the top of his game, going against a rookie to sort of push him, which matchup are you most anticipating seeing?
Oh, I think that you're definitely going to see Christian Watson get baptized by fire. You know, in not just mini camp, but really training camp when they get the pads on. I'm sure you're going to see Jair Alexander against Christian Watson. You're going to see Aaron Rodgers targeting him as kind of a real barometer, a litmus test of where he is, and kind of a real revelation to a rookie that this is what it is to be against the best in the NFL, with the best in the NFL throwing you the ball. You're going to see that. And you know, it's no different than years past. Aaron Rodgers likes to use those practice reps to challenge his guys, especially new guys, to see what they've got, and for them to have a chance to see what they've got. So those 23 versus 9 matchups are going to be something to take in.
Especially because Jair can get tenacious in there with his hands, and that's –
Oh, he ain't giving anything up. You know that. Yeah. That's how one of my favorite stories about Jair Alexander is when he first came in as a rookie, and Devontae Adams noticed him right away, because he didn't realize he was a rookie. Like, he was getting up in Devontae Adams' face and like going after him. And Devontae, you know how Devontae Adams, he was like, okay, you know, this is okay. But it was just that first, you can tell with guys when they get on the field, like who's who's got that fight in their eyes and who doesn't, you know. And it takes no time at all. It's a real quick thing that you tell right away. But Jair Alexander is that way. So now he's on the other side. Now he's the guy that rookies are going to go at to kind of show or not go at to show who they are. And you can imagine Jair Alexander's not going back down against that.
Christian Watson also told us after he was drafted, he said, I want Rodgers to push me. I want him to yell at me. I want him to teach me. And he's probably certainly going to get that. So
careful what you wish for.
Exactly. So between Aaron Rodgers teaching him, quote unquote, which he will, he will teach him a lot of stuff. Between that and Jair Alexander, we might see Christian Watson grow up before our eyes next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a process, but it'll be very interesting to see once these veterans get in. You know, Rasul Douglas was at the second OTA open session and wasn't at the first one. So, you know, to me, it was interesting to see Rasul Douglas and Eric Stokes on perimeters and Keyshawn Nixon in the slot. It seems real easy just to slide Jair Alexander into that slot position and have Stokes and Douglas on the perimeter, and you know Nixon kind of developing as a fourth guy, kind of that Shannon Sullivan role as a guy that can play inside and give depth, but as a fourth, it's going to be new for Jair Alexander too. He's going to be playing a whole lot more slot than he's played in the past.
Yeah, he'll get to be physical for sure. A couple last things just before we wrap up. I know you get to spend some time with Kenny Clark in the locker room this week. We saw him playing a little bit more of the five, I believe it was, if I remember correctly. Not necessarily at nose. I think he clarified for you why that was happening. But what does he kind of anticipate his role looking like this year?
Yeah, it's the three over the three, guard, the fives you. Over the defensive end. He's been playing a lot of three tech. Dean Lowry hasn't been taking team reps in OTAs. So, you know, if Dean Lowry, he's usually the five, and then Jerron Reed's been the five instead. And then Jerron Reed would be the three. Kenny Clark would be the nose, and TJ Slayton would be a depth guy. But instead they've had TJ Slayton, who's getting a lot of valuable reps as a fifth round pick last year that really came on late in the season. And if you're TJ Slayton, you're thinking, okay, you had a good rookie year, something to build off of. And then the Packers go and draft Devontae Wyatt in the first round. So it got a whole lot more competitive for him to get snaps overnight. But he's getting a lot of valuable nose tackle reps with the starters. And Kenny Clark is sliding out to that defensive tackle spot. And it's a good place to make a living as an interior pass rusher. It's a lot easier than nose. It's, you know, the double teams are harder to latch on to you when you're over a guard instead of right in the center of the offensive line. It's a plan that Kenny Clark said that the Packers coaching staff has kind of relayed to him, depending on the situation of the defensive line. He does anticipate playing a good bit of three tech, which is something he did last year, but early in his career, he was mostly a nose. They want to move him around between the two spots. And talking with Kenny Clark, he's hungry. I, you know, talking with him at his locker, he was talking about all the missed sacks that he had last year, which McKinney Clark was an absolute beast last year. I think I graded him the highest that I graded any defensive player, maybe on par with Devondre Campbell. But I thought that truly Kenny Clark was their best defensive player last year. But if you break down the film, the one thing that stands out is that there were a lot of missed sacks. There are a handful of missed tackles in the backfield, and it's hard to be that critical of him because the you know those were difficult plays, and the reason why he had a chance to make the play is because of his movement skills. I mean, he moved as an interior defensive lineman. He was like a running back in the middle of the defensive line. Like, he got the plays. You think of the baseball analogy, like your range as a middle infielder. He got the ground balls that most would not even have a chance to think about because that's how explosive he was. But then he wasn't finishing those plays as consistently. And Kenny Clark was very well aware of that. He said that, you know, you add those four or five sacks, all of a sudden he's around 10 sacks. That's all pro. And he knows that's the one thing keeping him from being and I think he finished sixth in all-pro voting, tied with Vita Vea. That's the one thing keeping him from being at the top of that list, right up there with an Aaron Donald, is finishing those plays. He's well aware of it. And if he's able to do that, if he's able to finish those plays and even get to more plays, because this defensive line, he said it, Matt LaFleur said it, it's the best defensive line that Kenny Clark has been around since the Packers drafted him with the first round in 2016. In terms of talent, he hasn't been surrounded by this much talent on the defensive line. So that takes extra blockers off you. That gives you a chance to get to more plays. He finishes those. He's got a real chance to blow up. He's just entering his age 27 season. Really should be at the apex of his career. It could be a really monster year for Kenny Clark.
It will be fun to watch for sure. It's like you said, how they drafted definitely benefits Kenny Clark. Last thing, I know that we got to watch Mason Crosby kick in wind that was easily 50 mile per hour gust, and he nailed it. And didn't he tell you afterwards he could have gone even farther?
Yeah, so he benefited because that wind, which was hellacious, I mean, it was blowing right. us over on the sideline. I even asked Kenny Clark if he'd ever practiced in wind like that this time of year. Because late in the year in Green Bay, you can get some weather elements, right? That's not uncommon. But, you know, late May, you're not used to having, like, gale force winds. And that was basically what it was on Tuesday. And he's like, no, this is something else. But the benefit was that it was all at Mason Crosby's back. So it was, if it was a crosswind, I have no idea how they'd be kickers would be able to gauge that kind of wind that, you know, it was 20 mile an hour steady wind and then gusts that were more than that. But he had it all at his back. So he nailed a 56 yarder midway up the uprights. And I asked him, he's like, yeah, I'd probably be good from 68 or 70 with that wind. But he was perfect. He was 6 for 6, which is relevant because Eberle, the kicker that they have in this offseason phase to give Mason Crosby some competition after a rough year last year, he was 4 for 6 in the open OTAs session the previous week. So Mason Crosby's off to a good start, obviously had some benefit of the wind, it's going to be a long process there.
Yeah, he'll be in a battle, and sometimes that can push people more than anything. Well, as we said, we'll get to see a lot more next week with minicamp. We are very excited. But, you know, it was good to kind of get to see the rookies move more and to move around veterans this past week, especially. This could be a fun year to watch this team come together. I don't know what word I was going there with, but it wasn't fun, and I just had to fill one in anyways.
You know what? It'll be different. Because this defense is really, really talented. Yeah. I think that's something that Kenny Clark was saying it too. They've got Pro Bowlers at all levels. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you look, I mean, they've got Pro Bowl talent all over the place. We haven't seen a defense like this in over a decade. And the questions, and there's a lot of them, are on the offensive side. Mm-hmm. Receiver, tight end, offensive line, right? I mean, other than quarterback and running back, the entire offense is a work in progress, and it's a total question right now how they're even going to line up. So it's just a very different year in Green Bay in terms of a defense that is really in a good place and an offense that is trying to get there.
Yeah, well, we'll know a lot more after mandatory minicamp. As we said, Tuesday and Wednesday open to the public, so feel free to go out and watch practice if you would like. If you are not there, we will have full coverage for you on PackersNews.com. And we will have Thursday as well, which is not open to the public, but we will have 3 days worth of coverage coming for you next week. Ryan, thank you so much for your time. As always, enjoy your weekend.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. This has been the Green 19 podcast, brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com.